On the line with me is Richard Barris. He is the managing director of Big Data Poll. We had him on October 29th to talk about what the polls were saying. He said that the road to victory for Donald Trump was through Pennsylvania. Richard Barris, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me back.
I've been looking forward to talking to you all week, because did you ever dream that we would be where we are today, Richard Barris?
Well, I figured we'd be fighting over Pennsylvania, because the polls always did show that, well, the media polls showed that Biden had a clear advantage. We never saw that. The president was very strong in Pennsylvania the whole time. It was only a matter of how long this kind of stuff would go on, Kim. And here we are now, and I do think we'd be fighting over it. But, you know, this is the first kind of an election that we've had with these moratoriums on election laws. So I didn't think it would be this bad, but here we are.
How is it that many of the other pollsters got it so wrong? Was this a polling assist to Biden by chance?
Yeah, I'm starting now. I'm at the point. You know, I've always been a bit of an idealist, or at least I tried to cling to that. But after 2016, I clearly tried to start a conversation about what went wrong. In 2018, it was a repeat. We just ignored it. And heading into 2020, I really am at the point where you would have to have been willfully blind to not know what was going on. And so trying to approach some of these other folks and say, hey, listen, you know, this is what I think you got wrong in 16. This is what I think you got wrong in 18. The reaction was surprising, but now just not so much. I mean, ABC News, Washington Post, Biden by 17 points in Wisconsin. And in the end, he needed something wacky in Milwaukee to take a 10,000 vote lead. You know, I don't buy it anymore. I think it's sad, but I think that's where we're at. I really do.
Well, Frank Luntz had said, I think last week sometime, I think it was before the election, that if in fact the pollsters were really, really wrong, that it is really besmirches their reputation and their credibility. What's your thoughts on that, Richard?
You know, Frank is a funny animal. So Frank has been doing this now for several years, and I think Frank said that out of knowledge that he knew they were wrong, and out of fear that he knew they were wrong. He does his own focus group work. There's just no way that people in my profession did not pick up on what I picked up on. And we were well beyond whether or not the polls would be wrong. We were already in a designing questions to try to identify who is a shy Trump voter. So we asked everybody in battleground states whether or not they believed in a shy Trump vote. It was overwhelming, 60s, 70s, never less, high 60s, you know, and mid 70s. And then we would ask, you know, how comfortable people were talking to pollsters and other groups of people, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, about their political beliefs and being truthful, such as how you intend to vote. It was a large chunk of the electorate everywhere we polled, and then there just was two groups of people that continued to come up with showing the highest levels of discomfort. It was a suburban woman and a working black man over the age of 30, younger than 65. So it was over and over. At this point, for them to have ignored that, they wanted to. There was a purpose. They were doing it on purpose because the data was just so overwhelming. We were headed for the biggest polling miss since 1947, and they just ignored it on purpose.
Would you consider this voter suppression? I've heard that different people say, really?
I'm there now. I really am. And I hate to say that, but there's really just no other. There is no other explanation. My record in Florida speaks for itself. I'm a Florida guy, and I know the state particularly well. I engaged several big media pollsters and a good faith professional effort to try to explain to them why they continue to get Florida wrong. Going back to the 2010 governor election with Rick Scott and Alex Saint, and the arrogance and the hubris that I encountered. You know, at first I just thought, you know what, they're confident in their work. But then looking at what happened going with this election in Florida, I just don't know how they would have missed it. If you polled Miami-Dade, you knew that Donald Trump was going to do historically well for a Republican candidate in Miami-Dade. His margins with Hispanics was incredible. And his and that's true, too, of black voters because of that black male I was just talking about. And they just, you had to have ignored it on purpose, Ken. You had to have. And I don't want to say that. I just don't know what else to attribute it to at this point. It's sad.
Richard Barras, Managing Director of Big Data Poll. We've had several great conversations coming up to this. I'm hearing some emotion in your voice that I find somewhat remarkable. I hear an integrity in your voice that you work to get these polls right. And I'm hearing some kind of emotion there, some frustration that I'm intrigued by. I guess that's the word I'm going to say. I'm intrigued by that, Richard.
Well, then I guess I'm having a hard time masking that a little bit. But that's you're just picking up on it, I guess. I did not want this to happen, Kim. I really hoped and I really prayed that people would put their partisanship, because my industry is dominated by liberals. There's just no doubt about it. And I understand when you have certain clients, they want a result that they want. You just have to have more integrity than that. You just have to, because it's a public service. And I have polling friends in Europe. They don't deal with the same things that it seems modern American pollsters have to deal with, and they're hurting the industry. So there, it's like an ideological corruption, I guess, and it infected us, and it's hurting the industry. And now we're coming to a place where Americans are going to dismiss us like they dismiss slip and fall lawyers or something. I mean, that's really where they're going to put us in that basket soon. And I love this industry. And this industry is supposed to be a public service. And it's just not. It's sad.
Okay, let's go back to this voter suppression thing. As you said, yes, that is voter suppression. And okay, I'm thinking about this. If, in fact, the headlines had said in Florida, Donald Trump is doing well with Latinos, Donald Trump is doing well with that working black man, that really could have changed people's perceptions on things. Correct, Richard Barras?
Absolutely. And also, it raises money. So this is something I think a lot of people need to understand. When a poll comes out, and it's a media poll, or even if that's why campaigns leak their own internal polls, they want to show voters we're still in this fight. We have we're still in the hunt here. Give us some money, help us over the finish line. So it works a couple of ways. It doesn't only demoralize and suppress your opponent's vote and enthusiasm, but it helps you raise money so you can keep going. And people always ask me all the time, well, why would they do this? Because the client wants them to do it. It's really that the pressure is enormous, but they're supposed to resist that. But I guess they didn't. I mean, it's pretty clear. You cannot miss Wisconsin that bad. You just can't. You have to be completely incompetent and shouldn't be a pollster, or you're doing it on purpose. There's just no other way around it. NBC News made the decision in September they were never going to switch to likely voters. As your job, it's part of your – as a pollster, it's part of your job to project what the electorate is going to be, what it's going to look like, how they're going to vote. To stick to a registered voter sample really is an abdication of your duty. So there was just all these crazy things like that going on. The only explanation is that it was for narrative, and it was for the benefit of one candidate.
Even so, with this, Richard Barras, Donald Trump on Election Day was leading in Pennsylvania and some of these other states. But now with this late counting coming in, it looks like that lead continues to shrink, which I find extremely, extremely curious. But let's think about all the things that have happened to Donald Trump since he took office. There's the Russiagate, the impeachment, the list goes on and on and on. And it seems to me that I should have really been tried to understand this, that they had this plan in place, I think, for after Election Day for these states, if in fact Donald Trump did well. And Donald Trump did better then as we said, then the pollsters said he's done better and better. This is kind of like their last hurrah. Now, that may be out of where you normally comment, and, you know, you can tell me that. But what's your thoughts on that, Richard Barris?
Yeah, I'm a Florida guy, and after 2000, we didn't want to ever be the laughing stock of the nation again. So on a bipartisan basis, we have some of the best election integrity laws in the country. You must report how many votes you have by category, whether it's in person, absentee, or election day. The early vote you'll know by 8 p.m. the day before, and you must know those categories by a certain time. There were two officials, Linda in Palm Beach and Brenda Snipes in Broward County, probably everybody knows the most, and they refused to follow these laws. They've been removed, and now this election was the first one without them, doing what they typically did, and it went smoothly, very smoothly. There is no doubt that COVID was used as a predicate to essentially put, because other states have laws like this too, COVID was used as a predicate to put a moratorium on some of these election integrity laws. All I can tell you this really for certain. One thing I can tell you for certain, everywhere the election integrity laws were not basically frozen because of COVID, Donald Trump's election day margin held up against the early vote. In the states where we knew the early vote total, they were not allowed to submit anything after the election. They were not allowed to just, I found another 50,000 into Cobb County. Everywhere that we had those totals and they were known quantities going into election day, the president's margin with the election day vote held up and overcame the early vote. Everywhere where they were allowed to have these things go on is everywhere we're seeing these problems. So, I'll let the listeners, take that for what it is, but that's the reality.
Okay, Richard Barris, I hadn't really thought about this, but for election integrity, you would have all these categories. So you would say we have this many mail-in ballots that we haven't counted, or we have this many absentee, or we have this or this. Then they could go in and count that, and those things should reconcile. And that would be a very key component of election integrity. And would question how you could start to have all these other ballots come in. That is a really key point.
That's how we determine when people see there are 95% of precincts reporting. That's how we determine that. And because we didn't have that for so many other states, that's why they were seeing a range. And I get a lot of questions over the last couple of days. Why does it say 75 to 95% reporting? I've never seen that before. And that is because so many of those states, not all of them, and that's why some of them were tighter, we knew. But many of these in the Midwest, the Midwest problematic states right now are the ones we're really talking about. That's why that is a range instead of a more definitive number, because we don't know. It's almost like we're flying blind. Normally we would know by precinct, too. It really gets down. It's granular. We get by precinct level data that tells us, this precinct has 3 out of 5 reported. They're almost done. We had no precinct level data this time. It really was extraordinary.
Which states in particular are you saying that we did not have that data?
Well, basically all of them, because we weren't going to get it for Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. So ironically, the officials in a state like Florida, they've been doing this for so long. Ohio is another one. If we asked them for it, they had it anyway. So they were just ready. I have to give them credit. Those two states, they ran like a well-oiled machine. It was beautiful. But in these other states, they're telling us they were just trying to keep their head above water. So they weren't able to give us that kind of granular level data that we really rely on when it comes to election night.
Okay, and you said the ones that did well was Florida and Ohio, correct?
Beautiful. They did a great job. Did a fabulous job. They should give themselves a hand. They really should.
And the ones that were super disorganized are some of those key ones like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Interesting. Okay, hey, Richard Barris, we need to go to break. When we come back, I want to continue this conversation. Absolutely fascinating. Richard Barris is the managing director of Big Data Poll, and I want to continue. I want to ask you about this election fraud thing. See what your thoughts are on that. We'll be right back. Richard Barris, a managing director of Big Data Poll. It looks to me like there is some election fraud going on. We are seeing videos before they closed up people being able to look at things in Philadelphia. Kevin Sorbo had tweeted out a video of somebody counting ballots, looking at it, visibly did not like the results on that ballot, wadded it up, threw it out. With election fraud, I said in the first segment to producer Steve, in these states where we see that there's election fraud and it's provable, that means I think there's other election fraud going on as well. I think we should have a do-over in these states. Just start all over and just do the election again in those states. Richard, is that a crazy idea?
Well, it's important to remember that Democrats alleged election fraud in the election in North Carolina back in 2018. They found very small, and I'm talking very small, instances of fraud with absentee ballots, and they got a judge to order a new election, which is why we had the special election with Bishop and the Democrats. It starts with an M. It's slipping my brain now. But they got one because of a very small, it was provable, a very small instance of absentee ballot fraud. So here, I did see that video that you're commenting on. That's Atlanta. Now, I don't know what Governor Brian Kemp is doing over there, but that is a place where they had told us, two mornings ago, they had 17,000 ballots. That was it. And because we're just trying to do our job. And they told us they had 17,000 outstanding ballots. That was not going to be enough to draw this margin where it is now. And not an hour later, it turned into a 50. So, if they would have done this transparently, and like we have done this with every other election cycle, then they wouldn't have to be suffering these allegations. But they tried to hide everything. They were not transparent. They were keeping out watchers. So I just don't know what other conclusion they thought we were gonna come to. I don't know how everyone thought this would turn out any different.
Okay, so a do-over might be what we need to do because if you have election fraud over here. And you said that was just a small amount of election fraud in North Carolina in 2018. If reports are verified, it looks like it could be significantly more in these key battleground states. And we need to, and I mentioned this in the first segment, Donald Trump, love him or hate him, he has brought clarity to these issues that have been facing America, that have been percolating underneath the surface. We've realized that there's been challenges with our elections. And my gosh, the mask is off on this, Richard Barris.
Yeah, we get a lot of things on Twitter, Kim. And sometimes, something will pique my interest. And somebody had sent me something alleging that there was some dead absentee ballot voters in Michigan. And I have access to voter files. I took one entry. That's it. I took one, I used the information from the Social Security Death Index, and then I plugged it into your voter information that the Secretary of State has in Michigan. And sure enough, this gentleman who was born in 1902 requested an absentee ballot in September. He submitted it on October 3rd, and he voted by absentee ballot. He's been dead since 1984. He died at the age of 82 in Detroit, Michigan.
Oh my!
The idea that it's not provable is ludicrous on its face. And we do have access to the voter files, so it piqued my interest. And I thought, you know what? Let me look. And we know about thousands on the voter file that are dead. This gentleman wasn't even listed as dead. So it's unbelievable. I don't think Americans understand the extent to which, looking at those dates, they've been at this for months.
And you know what? They actually telegraphed to us that they were going to do this. As I look back, it's like when they said, we will not know on election day. When Pelosi says, we'll not know on election day. This may take extra days. They were setting people up for this, I think, Richard Barris. Okay, we only have a couple of minutes left. Where do we go from here?
I think that's up to the president, but I think this is what's going to happen. They will try to, and by they I mean the Biden campaign will try to, and they have the media on their side, they'll try to close the books on Pennsylvania because the votes that were counted in Philadelphia, they weren't observed. So the Trump campaign would have to ask for a re-canvass and an audit, not just there are recounts and then there are canvasses. They're different. And when you re-canvass, you can find a lot of discrepancies outside of just re-feeding ballots through a machine, because that's all a recount will do. That's what they need to do. And then if they can prove large numbers of fraud, then they could bring it to the state legislature if the judge in those districts are not very Republican friendly. Let's face it, Pennsylvania is not at all Republican friendly. They're very liberal judges over there. That's the remedy they have. But I will tell you, Arizona is going to flip to President Trump today. We think there's better than a 75% chance that's going to happen, but that would still leave him needing Pennsylvania or a combination of the other two states. So that really is their only recourse at this point.
Oh, this is absolutely fascinating, Richard Barris. I so appreciate, I now feel like you're my friend as we've started to go through these conversations and search for truth. And what you have told us today, I have some great hope here, Richard Barris. What is your final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today, Richard Barris, Managing Director of Big Data Poll?
Let's be skeptical of these pollsters in my industry. Be very skeptical. And let's never conduct an election like this again. People deserve better than this. Voters deserve better than this. This was absolutely by design, and we can do this better. We can.
Oh, my gosh. Richard Barris, thank you so much. Let's stay in touch. We are living history right now.